We're in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7 through 16. Know the truth and guard against the false. If you would, stand for reading of the Word of God. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the Word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside his gate. Therefore let us go forth outside the camp bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. This is the word of God. Please be seated. Know the truth and guard against the false. We're living in a culture where you're being inundated with falsehoods. We've said this over and over and over. I'm going to bring a few things to light in this sermon today. The theme of Hebrews is the superiority of Christ. Remember, he's superior to every other way. There's no other name given among men by which men must be saved. There is one name, and that is the Lord Jesus. There's no Hinduism, there's no Buddhism, there's no other ism. It is only the Lord Jesus Christ. Every other way is a false way. The other themes are do not drift. Do not drift from the centrality of Jesus Christ and hold fast. Hold fast on him. Sometimes you're holding on with little fingernails. Just hold on tight to Jesus because he's the one that will keep you safe. Now, last time we met, we talked about you're here for a purpose, and that is to impact your world. And the greatest impact that we can have in our world is our love for one another. Our love for one another, actually demonstrated with one another. So it impacts every area of our life. It impacted the way that we deal with strangers. It impacts the way that we dealt with prisoners, and specifically in context, it's talking about those who were in prison, Hebrew Christians that were imprisoned because of their faith. They believed in Jesus, they were thrown in prison. And those are the people in particular that we were to show love to. Not that we shouldn't show it to all prisoners, but these in particular. Then it talked about marriages, how love is specifically the epitome of every marriage, and our contentment, how our love for one another will affect our contentment with how we live in this world. We're living in a culture that says, you need more. You need more. You need more stuff. Store it in more barns. Build more barns for your stuff, okay? And we want to learn to be content with what God has given us. Jesus gave us this command to love one another. He said it many times, just a few. John 13, 34, new command I give you, love one another. This is a command. This is an imperative. This is something that God expects his people to do. This is not a suggestion. This is not something that we try real hard to do. This is something that we do. My command, he says in John 15, 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. 1 John 3, 14, we know that we have passed from life to death because we love our brothers. Now, this kind of love that we're talking about is not natural. For in the natural, we are all selfish. Would you agree? Yes, Mr. Gorm, yes, we're selfish. Yes, we are selfish people. It's not natural. Usually we're self-centered, carnal, fleshly driven. And because you're saved does not mean you're not going to struggle with Mr. Flesh. More on that in another lecture, but he's still there, wants to have his way. Real love is cultivated by a relationship with Christ, and love brings this. Real love brings this. Oneness, wholeness, and unity. Oneness, wholeness, and unity. That's what real love brings. That's what Jesus brings. In John 17, 20 through 23, in the real Lord's Prayer, when Jesus prays for himself, when he prays for his disciples, and in these verses he prays for us, those who are going to believe, those who are going to come. Listen to what he talks about with oneness. Jesus is thinking about you being one. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. Oneness. You, Father, are in me, and I in you, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe, what a witness, that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. You get the theme here. We are one, like the Godhead is perfect. That's how we are to be with one another. I in them and you in me, and that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved me, and you have loved them as you have loved me. Our oneness is a reflection of God in us. Now, hear this. Since we are depraved people, okay, we've been saved, but we still have a nature that we have to struggle with. It's still there. It's still there, a fleshly nature. Since we are scarred by sin, we may see things a little bit differently. We may see things a little bit differently. And I would encourage you, do not let the small issues divide you, whether you're in a home with husband and wife, family members, friendships, or whether you're in a church and you have a little bit different view on different things in the church. Because God is big, and how big are we? We are very teensy, teensy, itsy bitsy teensy. And we're trying to understand a huge God. So we may see things a little different. On the main things, there is no wavering. There is no wavering. There's unity on the main things. Now, who wants to divide you? Who do you think wants to divide you? There's an enemy. That's right. Satan wants to divide you. His goal is division. His goal is disunity. His goal is to divide and conquer. On the essentials, unity, and on the non-essentials, grace. Grace. I think this is so essential. Our love, our oneness, our gentleness with one another will impact the world, and they will know that we have been with Jesus. That's how the world will know, that the world may know that we have been with Jesus. Now, this week, we're going to be talking about this. Know the truth and guard against the false. Know the truth and guard against the false. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time to study your word. Holy Spirit, I ask you to illuminate the word to each one of our hearts. For just a few moments today, may we forget about what's happening in the world around us, in our relationships, in anything else that would distract us. And may we focus in today on what you have for us, because what you have for us is a treasure that will help us to endure the stuff that's out there. Please speak to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, now there's a caution. When you're thinking about oneness, when you're thinking about unity, and I've said this before, this is just a reminder, do not sacrifice truth for unity. Do not sacrifice truth for unity. We want to be graceful, we want to be gentle, but not at the expense of truth. Now, there's much to say about this. The New Testament is filled with warnings about false doctrine and false teachers. Just about every epistle deals with it. Beware of false prophets coming in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves, Jesus said in Matthew 7:15. Paul said in Ephesians, to the Ephesian elders, to be on guard for savage wolves, coming from within and without, always trying to get the sheep to follow them, Acts 20, verse 30, to draw them away. In Galatians, he warned about men who were preaching a false gospel, something that sounded good, tickled the ears, but it was a false gospel. And what did he say in Galatians 1, 6 through 9? He says, if anybody preaches any other gospel than what I am preaching, what Jesus has given to me, let him be anathema. Let him be accursed. That's how important the true gospel of Jesus Christ is. Then he says not to be taken captive by wise and deceptive philosophies that depend on human traditions or the basic principles of this world. He says that in Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 16. His pastoral letters are full of sound doctrine, continually warning against false teaching. And we have to be aware of this because we are living in a culture where we are inundated with false teaching. It is covered. It is covered with truth, 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 false. And so you have to be a person of the word that is able to hear the word and know when something is off, and your Holy Spirit Doberman Pinscher thing goes up in the back of your hair, and you say, hey, something's off. I might not know exactly where it is, but I'm going to search the word to make sure that what that person said is true. That's what you have to do. We are to examine what is being taught in Scripture in context. Now, what is context? What is context? As we take context is what the author is intending to say, not what somebody is trying to grab out of it to make them say what they want to say. Okay? What the author is intending to say. Sheep are easily led astray by the false and by the unlearned. By the unlearned. Now, to guard against the false, verses 7 through 9, the truth. Remember those who taught you for real. I want to say this for real several times in here because there's a reality here. For real, we are to remember those who taught us orthodox truth in the past. Verse 7 through 9. Remember those who rule over you. That's talking about pastor teachers. That's talking about your elders. That's talking about your deacons. That could be a Sunday school teacher. That could be a home group leader. That could be anybody in a position of teaching and authority within a group of people who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Now, is it important for someone who is going to be a leader at any level to conduct themselves in an appropriate manner? You bet. You bet it is important. And it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Folks, there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. Verse 9, do not be carried about by various and strange doctrines, strange teachings. For it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have profited those who have been occupied with them. Talking about the legalists. That's what they were dealing with at this time. Judaizers, Jewish people, legalists that wanted these Hebrew Christians to go back to their old ways and insisted on it, and they persecuted them because they wouldn't go back. It's different today. We still have legalism. It still raises its ugly head, but we have several other things that we are to be aware of. And we will cover that in just a second. So the church today, there is a caution for the church today. A caution is this: with a new revelation, a new word, something dramatic, something spectacular, something different, something miraculous, the show. There, people will go for miles and miles to watch the performance, to watch the show. Okay? That is one thing that is happening within the church. One thing that is happening within the church. The second thing that is happening is people focusing on something spiritual. You ever hear this? Spirituality. I'm spiritual. I'm a spiritual person. Spiritual person. Matthew chapter 16, verse 4, and also was repeated in Matthew 12, 39, says this, a wicked and perverse generation seeks after a sign, after a miracle. The miracles had a purpose in Jesus' ministry. That it was a show that he was indeed the Messiah, that he was the Christ, and that he was the legitimate one. Many had come before him, but he was the true one. He was the true one. Now, I want you to think about something. We have the signs and wonders, the New Apostolic Reformation. We have those types of things that are very prominent within the church today. And it's very deceptive, taking people in. But there's another thing that is out there that has much popularity, and that is the Eastern mysticism, spirituality that has come into the church. And it's come under the guise of different names. Contemplative prayer. Have you ever heard that word? Contemplative prayer, contemplative prayer. That is an emptying of the mind to focus on a word. What do the Eastern people do? They have a mantra. We don't use that vernacular here because that sounds like Hinduism, but we focus on a word and it empties our mind. That is the goal of contemplative prayer. It advances then to what is called centering prayer, where you've emptied your mind and you're listening for a direct word from God. Now, I want to hear a word from God, but I don't want to do it by emptying my mind because I might hear from the wrong God. Hear that. I might hear from the wrong God. And I want to feel good. Don't you want to sense the Spirit of God? We do. We want to sense it, but we don't want to empty ourselves in order to accomplish that because there are false gods that will try to speak to you. This is real. These are demons that are trying to speak to you. And then it finally ends up with something called soaking prayer, where you sense a tingle on your skin or a wisp of wind going across your face. And then you know that you're in the zone. You're in the zone by that time. Look at caution with New Age spirituality. Psalm 119, 15 and 16 says this, I will meditate on your word. I'll meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I'll delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Very important. I'm not just emptying. I will not forget your word. This is real. Hear this. Meditation means to ponder, to go over, to chew on, not empty your mind. You're chewing on, pondering the word, not emptying your mind. There are people that have spirit guides that come in, masquerade as angels and that sort of thing, masquerade as angels of light, and they are demonic. Don't go there. Don't empty your mind. That type of thing has come into the church and has become very popular today. Very popular today. So caution. So then we have legalism that has come into the church also. Solomon expressed his frustration in his day. He says this in Ecclesiastes 1:9, that which has been is what will be, that which is done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. People have been seeking some other way to God, some mystical way to God, all through the epochs of time. And they are false ways. People will search for new sounds, new things, new experiences, and Solomon says there's nothing new under the sun. The world replays this. The world has its own way of viewing this. Self-fulfillment. You need to be filled with yourself. Self-indulgence. You need to experience everything. Go for the gusto. You deserve. You deserve. How many times have you heard this? You deserve a break today. Well, sometimes we do, but I mean, it's this constant influence on yourself. Self-actualization in psychiatry, where you're being evolving into your best self. Be true to yourself. The truth is this. The truth is without Christ, nothing really satisfies for long, and man is empty without Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, thank you. That's an amen time. That would be one. Good. The church has bought into this whole thing, hook, line, and sinker, a new revelation, a new word, a fresh anointing. Various tabs have been put on it. What people are saying, I want something new, I want something dramatic, and I want something different. Now think about this. Think about the culture you're living in. Think about the pace that we're running. I mean, you think you're running here? We went out to California. They're running. It is a dead sprint from dawn to dusk to get from point A to point B. Try not to kill anybody along the way. We are living in the action camera roll-em generation. Every second is filled with technology and entertainment. Give me something spectacular. How much downtime do people really have without inputs into their being? It's constant. It's constant in this culture. I'm bored. How quickly do people say, I'm bored. I'm bored. Spectacular, mystical. That's what the name of the game is today. Now, this has played itself out in the church. In the church, what we have seen in the past, mostly, still happens to some extent, but remember these things. Remember this church drama. People being slain in the spirit, where the person would just sling their arm across and everybody goes over like pickup stick. Boop, 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 boop. Slain in the spirit. Laughing in the spirit. Being drunk in the spirit. These things were popular 20 years ago. That came into the church and many embraced it. Many embraced it. What is the fruit of the spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Self-control. That has nothing to do with what these people are doing. Today we have this because there's a new thing. See, when you get into the drama, you have to get into a new thing. Today we have gold fillings. Now I ask you, if Jesus is going to give me new teeth, you know what he's going to give me? A brand new enameled tooth. Not some gold-filled teeth. He's going to give me the real deal. How about gold dust? Where the gold dust, this is real, sprinkles down out of the ventilation system and it's gold dust. Throw me a gold brick. Give me a gold brick. That's what I want to see. Forget the gold dust. Angel feathers. Angel feathers. This is real. Angel feathers. Floating down. Give me an angel. Give me an angel. Forget all this Holy Spirit smoke. Jumping and shouting in the spirit. And it's always in the spirit, by the way. Remember, because it'll always be tagged with in the spirit. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit is blamed for a lot of stuff that he is not involved with. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, 1 Corinthians 14:33. The Holy Spirit will look just like Jesus. Because when Jesus released, said he was going to release the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14, I will send another allos just like him. That's what the Holy Spirit looks like. You've never seen anything in Jesus' ministry of gold fillings and dust and whatever they're trying to do to gain a crowd. Your protection when the new experience crowd hits you in the face because they want you involved in this, the come and see crowd, come and see the new thing, or the spiritualist want to get you involved. Your protection is remember those who taught you in the past truth, who were orthodox, taught what Jesus taught and what the apostles taught. That is what orthodox is. Nothing mystical about that name. Orthodox, what Jesus taught and what the apostles taught. Those who rule over you, your elders, pastor, teachers, that sort of thing, who focused on the word, not the drama, who spoke the word of God to you, the logos of God, the divine reason, the divine reason. This other stuff's not reasonable. Divine reason, the true revelation from God to man. And I ask you in any of this, where is the new revelation, the new word, the new experience, the new whatever? These people, it says, whose faith you follow. You follow those because they have demonstrated proven conduct. They've conducted themselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Those are the ones you follow. You don't follow the performance. Avoid those who seek the spectacular, the new thing. Because what does Scripture say? There's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun. Jesus does not change to accommodate someone's desire for a new thing, a new anointing, a new power, 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 mystical, mystical, mystical. He doesn't change for that. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's right, forever. Now, you know, when Jesus walked this earth, just a few things. Just a few things. You know what he said? He said, come and follow me. He didn't say, come and follow the show. He said, come and follow me in Matthew 4:19 to Peter and Andrew. He said, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand in Matthew 4:17. He said, believe in me and live, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Believe in me and live. He said, let us go. Jesus said, let us go into the next towns and preach there also because for this purpose I have come. Mark 1:38. He says, preach, caruso, herald truth. And remember what a herald did in olden times. They gave a message that the king wanted to be given to the people, and he couldn't change the message to accommodate the culture. He had to give exactly what the king said. We have a message from our king to give a culture, and we cannot change that to accommodate the feelings of the culture. Do you hear that? Amen. Okay. Yes. Folks, Jesus is enough. He is the real deal. He is the real deal. The antidote for false teaching is Jesus Christ and him crucified. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. Now, your fresh anointing, your empowering for service comes as you spend time with Jesus. That's what anointing is. All the anointing is, it's not something crazy happening. It's empowering you to do what he's called you to do. That is what the anointing is. It's not mystical. It's not mystical. It's all about abiding in Christ, and it results in fruit. John 15:5 says this, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. It does not say that you will experience the crazy things that we see today in many places. Not a hint of that in Scripture. Not a hint. Not a hint of it. As a matter of fact, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you know what happens when you're filled with the Holy Spirit? You think you jump around and shout and scream and roll around and that sort of thing? Watch what happens. It's in Scripture. Ephesians chapter 5:19. You do this. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things. How many things? All things. Life is hard. Somehow, all things we give God thanks for. I don't know how this is going to work out, Lord, but I know that you're with me. You have to give me the strength, all things, to God the Father. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and watch this, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Oneness with one another in the fear of God. There's no fear of God in our culture. There's no fear of God. We make God up. We make him up. And they have all this strange stuff because we're making him up in our mind. No, that's what the filling of the Holy Spirit is. That's what the Holy Spirit is. The fruit. Biblical fruit is this. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. It's Christ-like character. Remember? Love, joy, peace, patience, so on. Secondly, in Colossians 1, 10, a life of good works. Ephesians 2, 10. Remember, by grace we're saved through faith, not of yourself, as a gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast. I have to say the whole thing. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, created in advance for us to do. Once you're saved, you are to work for the King. You are to work for the King, a life of good works. That's fruit. That's fruit. That shows you're really in. That shows you're connected to the vine. How about a faithful witness in Romans 1:13? You're telling everybody that you can about Jesus. Hebrews 13:15 has lips that praise God. It's worship. You have worship in your heart to God. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. And then finally, Romans 15:28, generous giving. You have to realize it's not mine. It's his. Time, talent, treasure. He owns it all. Be generous. What do you not see as fruit? A new revelation. Got a new word. A new word just for you. Prophetic utterances. Slain in the spirit. Laughing in the spirit. Angel feathers. Gold dust. You don't see any of that stuff. Your protection is those who taught you the truth in the past. And it says in verse 9, do not be carried away by various and strange doctrines. Listen to those who have taught you in the past the truth. The truth. Verse 10 through 12. The truth is this. Jesus was the right sacrifice, the right way, in the right place, for real. He is the for real Jesus. Verse 10 through 12. We have to move here. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. Speaking of Jesus, okay, he's our altar. The cross, he's our altar. The Old Testament priests have no right there. They're not saved. They're not under Jesus. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Let me qualify that. If the priest was looking forward to Messiah coming, he's saved. But a lot of them were just going through the ritual. Okay, a lot of them were just going through the ritual. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Now, this is speaking about the Day of Atonement, where the blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat and the sins of the nation were taken away for a year. Now, Jesus was totally different. Jesus was totally different. Jesus was the right sacrifice, the only acceptable sacrifice. He's the sinless Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Sin must be dealt with. God is holy. He cannot be in the presence of sin. We have Adam's sin imputed to us. Imputed to us. In the New Testament, Jesus was crucified outside the camp or outside the gate, outside the city of Jerusalem with the riffraff. That's where he was crucified. Jesus was the right sacrifice, the only acceptable sacrifice. There was no great human that could die for mankind. There was no great angel that could die for mankind. The sacrifice had to be a sinless human. The only one that was sinless was Adam in the beginning, and then he sinned, and then the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man. And he was the only one. He is called the last Adam in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Someone had to die for your sins, and that someone is you if you do not put your trust in Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. He was the right sacrifice. He died the right way. Jesus had to die on a cross. He could not have been stoned. He couldn't slip and fall and hit his head and be killed. He couldn't be beheaded. He couldn't have been strangled. He had to be numbered with the transgressors and die a criminal's death in Isaiah 53:12. His hands and feet had to be pierced, as it says in Psalm 22. He says in John 12:32, he says this, if I am lifted up, speaking of the cross, I from the earth will draw all people to myself, signifying by what death he would die. Our sin caused Jesus to die the most excruciating, humiliating death possible. He was the right sacrifice, he died the right way, and he died in the right place, outside the city, numbered with the transgressors. The truth is this, Jesus is the only sacrifice that takes away our sins. The only one. No other way but Jesus. All other belief systems cannot get you to heaven. No other way but Jesus. No matter how loud the world screams, we are to embrace everything, embrace every way, we're all on the same path. Oh, no, we're not. You know how you know? Because Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate. The narrow gate, not the wide gate, the narrow gate. That's his gate. Narrow gate. Verse 13, the truth. Jesus demands our full allegiance for real. Jesus demands our full, not a cursory. Now, I'll grant that many people, particularly in the United States or the Western world, because England and Australia and New Zealand and Europe and that sort of thing, have a very cursory relationship. Carnal Christianity is the standard, is the standard. That is not what Jesus calls us to. He calls us to full, outright allegiance to him. Verse 13, therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, outside the environment that you're in. You're going to look weird. Bearing his reproach. Bearing his reproach. Go forth to him outside the camp. To the Jewish reader, to these people, it was to leave your Judaism, to leave your Jewish ways, to follow Christ, even if it meant prison, even if it meant losing your business, and it did to these Hebrew Christians. They lost everything to follow Christ. That's what that meant. Even if you're degraded, even if they make fun of you, even if the culture calls you ignorant. What else do they call us? Intolerant. Oh, you're just an intolerant Christian. You think you're so smart. We don't think we're smart. We think God is. And he provided the way for us. There's nothing new under the sun. Those who follow Jesus for real will bear his reproach, will suffer because they have followed the Lord Jesus. You're not going to be the most popular kid in fifth grade if you had followed Jesus. You're not going to be the most popular person in your workplace because the whole world is against the ways of Jesus. Leave the city. Leave the religiosity. Leave the rituals. Leave the form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Leave the present fascination with the supernatural and the mystical. The cry of the New Testament is to come and follow Jesus for real, no matter the cost. No matter the cost, no matter the reproach, no matter the pressure. Remember, you have something or you have someone that these Old Testament folks did not have. And I bet you can guess what it is. That's someone that will give you strength. You have the indwelling Holy Spirit. John 14:16 says this, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another, the Allos, just like Jesus, the Helper, the Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. He is called the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth dwells within you. You can know what truth is because the Spirit of God dwells within you, whom the world cannot receive. He dwells with you, will be in you. He is your Comforter. When you're going down that road that nobody else can go down but you and Jesus, the Spirit of God is with you. He is your Comforter. You go into that hospital room, you get that diagnosis, you lose something. He is your Comforter. He is your Parakletos. He will be in you, inside of you, dwell within you. And I can guarantee you, he can come upon you with power to enable you to do whatever he has called you to do. Whatever position, whatever place he has put you in, the Spirit of God can give you the power to survive that position. That is the truth. That is the truth. All through history, Jesus demands full allegiance to him for real. Not one time did he say, come and follow me from a distance. Come and follow me just a little bit. He said, come and follow me and be like me. That's the message of the cross. To be conformed to the likeness of Christ. Not to stay a baby. Not to stay like we were. Oh no, it is to be changed. We walk by faith, folks, and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We bear the reproach in our families. We bear the reproach in our work. We bear the reproach in our culture. The truth is, Jesus demands full allegiance, and he deserves it for real. Amen? Amen. Verse 14. Truth, we have this. A new body and a new home, and guess what it's for? Real, it's for real. Yes, verse 14, the writer of Hebrews reminds us of this. For here we have no continuing city. We don't belong here. Why? Because we're aliens and strangers. You ever realize we don't fit? We don't fit. This is not our home. But we seek the one that is to come. That new place that God has just for us. That city that has been built for the church, for his people, for those who believe in Jesus Messiah through the epochs of time. And he has your place just for you. You like a certain picture? Guess what? I don't know if this is going to happen, but there might be a picture there you like just perfect for you. You like an easy chair with a super duper clicker? Huh? You might have that. I don't know. But it's going to be just for you. Our reward is heaven, and it's a real place with a real purpose. You know, Abraham looked forward to this. He looked forward to a heavenly country. Hebrews 11:16. Jesus talked about Father's house. In my Father's house there are many rooms. Were that so, I would have told you so. And I go to prepare a place for whom? For you. For you. For you. You. To point at yourself. You. For me. That's right. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back for you, that you may be where I am. That's our Jesus. He's got a place for us. This is exciting. Paul's focus was this: absence from the body, present with the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5:8. Heaven is for real. Heaven is for real. You don't have to see the little movie or read the little book about the little kid that went there. Heaven's for real. Heaven's for real. It's just not heaven in the future. Those who know the truth, those who are in full allegiance to Jesus, experience his peace and his presence, can have his joy and his peace now. Now. 2 Peter 1:3 is for us now. His divine power has given us all things. How many things? All things that lead, that pertain to life and godliness through our knowledge of him. Folks, that is now. That is right now. John 15:11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and your joy may be full. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you will have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. What are you going to have in the world? Tribulation. That's what this whole thing is about here. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, and you can have the peace of God through this whole mess called earth. That's what you can have. It's great. It's good news. That's Jesus' promise to us. Jesus' promise to you now is for real. It's for real. Remember, I will never, 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 five times, leave you nor forsake you. What a promise. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What can man do to me? Hebrews 13:6. Then he says, there's no fear. Then he says this one. Lo, I am with you always. You know, in the Great Commission. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Matthew 28:20. Speaking to us today, there's nothing like the presence of Jesus. Nothing like the presence of Jesus. Jesus promises a new body, a new home, his presence now, and it's all for real. And I can just, I'm clapping. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I'm a little carried away here. I have to calm down. It's exciting to me. It really is. This is passing. This is passing. I mean, yes, okay. Verse 15 and 16, and we'll be done, then we'll be through. The truth, knowing these truths for real, results in breakout worship and generosity. We become generous, sharing people, not hoarding people, sharing people. Watch this. Therefore, because of all these things we've just gone through, therefore, by him, Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Continually, not occasionally. Continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips. In other words, you speak it. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done for me. Giving thanks to his name. And then, but do not forget to do good. This is another fruit. And to share, for with such sacrifice, God is well pleased. Let's develop this very quickly. Knowing it's all real results in us in breakout praise and sacrifice of praise to our God. It's an evidence that we are filled with the Holy Spirit when we are praising God. Have a song on your lips. Remember Ephesians 5:19 that I read? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and melody in your heart, with melody in your heart, giving thanks for all things, submitting to God, to one another. No grudges. No grudges. Take the grudges away. That's a trap of the enemy. That's the bait of Satan. That keeps you separated. That keeps you divided. Move on from those things. Deal with issues and move on. That's the encouragement. To serve others in his name. To share with one another. When you serve others in his name, this is worship to God. This glorifies God. Now, I want to pause here for just a second, because it's talking about continually offering the sacrifice of praise, does it not? Well, let's be real. We've got to be real here. We're living on earth. We're living on earth. The sacrifice of praise to God, there may be seasons where you don't feel like doing that. Ever happened to you? Did it ever not happen to you? I'd like to meet you, okay? There's seasons where I don't feel like praising the Lord. This traffic bugs me. My husband bugs me. My wife bugs me. My kids bug me. My works bugs me. My hurt knee bugs me. My hip, my this, my that bugs me. Okay, there's seasons where we don't want to offer this sacrifice of praise. It's really a sacrifice of praise when you worship in spite of your fleshly inclinations. That is when it's a sacrifice of praise. Isn't it interesting? There are seasons of life that are up seasons where it's easy to praise God. It's easy to have a sacrifice of praise. It's all is well. And then there are down seasons. This is real. This is earth. This is life, where there are down seasons, where nothing is easy. And quite frankly, I'm not interested in praising. I don't feel like it at this time. I can hardly get out of bed. It's in these times, these down times, that giving thanks, giving praise is truly the fruit of our lips and a real sacrifice of praise. The truth is this. The down times are for a season. The down times are for a season. Life is dynamic. Nothing is the same forever. It will change. The truth is, this too shall pass. So we worship him, the one who has done so much for us, knowing that he's with us. The truth is, in my down time, I know that Jesus is with me. I might not feel like it, but I don't trust my feelings. I trust the facts of what God's word says. And I walk in that. The truth is, my life is not based on feeling. It's based on facts of God's word. In truth, I know I will one day sense his presence again. I know that will happen. And the truth is, God has promised me a future, and he has promised me hope. He has promised me this. Folks, the spring is coming. Now, maybe you like winter. And maybe winter's coming for you, and you like it. But I'm looking for spring, okay? Winter will end soon. Know this truth. God inhabits the praises of his people. Guard against the false. Guard against this lie that God doesn't care. Ever feel that? I'm going through this. I can't hear. Job felt it.
When I turn to the east, he's not there. When I turn to the west, he's not there. When I turn to this way, that way, he's not there. Then he comes to his senses. I know where I can find him. I know that he is with me. We come to our senses, and the Psalms, it happened all the time. Started with this lament, and by the end, you're saying, I know God is with me. I know he's with me. Don't believe the lie that God doesn't care. He cared so much that he sent his son to die for us. He died for us. Look at, break out in worship and see if God doesn't inhabit the praises of his people. Psalm 22:3, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel, or in praises of your people. That enthroned means to dwell with or to sit with. When you praise God, it's like God is taking a moment to say, I will sit with you at this time. In this moment of your distress, I will take time out of all the stuff that's going on, and I will come down and I will sit with you. That's how much our God loves us. He's enthroned in the praises of his people. Conclusion, know the truth and guard against the false. Remember those who taught you the truth. When the false comes, when the lies come, remember the truth that you were taught. When the legalists come knocking on your door, the Hebrew roots movement, some of that is good, but some of that is not good. Okay, you have to be discerning with that. When someone comes with the mystical, with the contemplative prayer or the prayer walks or all the stuff that they want to empty your mind, be on guard. Be on guard. When the new agers come, be on guard. When the signs and wonders people knock on your door and say, oh, the Holy Spirit's here, let's go join them. Well, the Holy Spirit's in me. The Holy Spirit's in you. You don't have to go to Toronto. You don't have to go to Pensacola or wherever else is going to break out with some group of people. You don't have to go to Kansas City to the IHOP, International House of Prayer. You can, that's what that is. You've got the Spirit of God in you. Don't let anybody tell you, you've got to go to where the Spirit of God is. He is in you. Truth. You will get, and this is a thrill. Maybe not for most of you, but it's a thrill for me. You will get a new body one day and a new home one day. And I can just say, jump up and down and say, yes, thank you. Truth. Jesus is still the answer. Jesus is still the answer. He was the right sacrifice, the right way, in the right place. And he did it all for each one of us. He did it each for each one of us. He's amazing. And truth, we are to give Jesus our full allegiance. To follow him outside the camp. This is the camp. Follow him outside the camp. Into your environment. Into the place where you are contacting the world. Regardless of the reproach that might come. We follow our Jesus outside the camp. You know why? Because he died for me. Outside the camp. He died for me. Know the truth and break out in worship and generosity, especially when you don't feel like it. Jesus will come and sit with you. He inhabits the praises of his people. Let me close with this. Thinking about Jesus, knowing the truth and guarding against the false, he is the only mediator between God and man. He is the sun that enlightens, the physician that heals, the wall of fire that defends. He is a friend that comforts, the pearl that enriches, the ark that supports, and the rock to sustain under the heaviest of pressures. He is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty on high. He is better than the angels. He is better than Moses, better than Aaron, better than Joshua, better than Melchizedek, better than all the prophets and greater than Satan, and stronger than death. That's my Jesus. This is our Jesus. This is the Jesus that is our friend. This is the Jesus that loves me. When you sing that little kid song, when you get faced with something crucial, it gets down to that. Jesus loves me. This I know. Even though I can't understand possibly what's going on. Know the truth and guard against the false. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time to study your word. Holy Spirit, you've spoken to us today. Please use your word to touch each heart here. Each one of us have heard something different in a different way, has prompted different thoughts in our hearts. May we respond to what the Spirit is saying to us today. If there's something in my life that I need to deal with, Lord, may I not put it off for a second. You deserve our full allegiance. if I need to go outside the camp and be a greater witness for you to the people that I come in contact with, may you empower me to do that. I commit myself to do that to you today. Lord, help us to be people of the Word, filled with the Holy Spirit, impacting our culture, and help us to know the truth and to never fall for the lies. Thank you for this time to study your Word. Thank you for our time together, corporately, that we can worship and praise you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.